Welcome to the big show.
He could go all the way
to the North Valley's own Jerry O'Lennon.
When you're telling these little stories, here's a good idea. Have a point. It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
Is there a heaven? Oh, yeah. It's the place dreams come true.
On KKXX Life Radio, this is Live Local Talk.
Good morning, everybody. Thanks so much for being with us. We're going to start today, this Wednesday, next Wednesday, and the following Wednesday, talking about domestic violence. It's been in the news a lot because of the case of Angelica Weems. You may know this story. Zira Weems is now a person of interest in her death. She was missing for 3 weeks. Her body was found last week. She did not survive what appears to be some type of an attack. We do know it was her body. Her remains were identified. Zira Weems is in jail in Glenn County. The husband, they've known each other for 8 to 10 years, I believe. And he is in jail for different charges, animal cruelty charges. But he remains in Glenn County jail. But if he becomes a suspect, official suspect, and charged in the death of his wife, Angelica, then he would obviously be transferred to Butte County Jail if that happens. But as of now, he is not. He is just a person of interest. He is not in any way a suspect in the death, what is now considered a homicide of his wife, Angelica Weems. Important to make that mention. Gidi Hansen is a marriage and family therapist, registered intern with The Growing Place. She handles all types of issues, but she is an expert and has dealt with domestic violence issues of clients that come into her office at the Growing Place. And she joins us today. Good morning.
Good morning.
I know you probably know a little bit about this case. One of the interesting things when I was doing a story on it a few weeks ago is that there was a temporary restraining order filed by Angelica Weems against her husband and then was pulled about a month later, which we found to be interesting. It showed that there was kicking and hitting and gun pointing, and he was, that he wanted her to shoot him, and he was going to shoot her. She filed the TRO. It was accepted, but then she pulled it about a month later.
Yes.
And I guess this is not unusual.
No, this is typical behavior of the abused partner. The abused partner gets into a mentality or a lifestyle of, number one, feeling victimized, and then number two, feeling the need for the perpetrator, feeling the need for the one who is victimizing, who is very often providing economic support, emotional support. They have children together.
They knew each other since she was 15 years old, and this is a common thing.
Yes.
They know each other for a long time. She thinks maybe there's no other way out. And there's also, in the report, it looked like there was a lot of emotional violence, I guess you might call.
Yes.
Emotional, bad words, denigrating somebody. You were talking, before we started, about it's not just a physical violence.
No, it's not.
What is it that causes this?
Well, let me just give you the definition from the United States Department of Justice. Domestic violence is a pattern of abusive behavior in a relationship where one partner gets power or control over another intimate partner. And the behaviors include things that are intimate, manipulative. They humiliate, they isolate, they frighten, they terrorize, coerce, threaten, blame, hurt, injure, or wound. And it can be physical, it can be sexual, it can be emotional, it can be economic, and it can be psychological.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't always involve physical. Like, economic abuse is one partner taking away the other partner's cell phone, credit cards, car keys, cash, and basically keeping them imprisoned at home. That would be one example.
I see. And so I think people, when they hear about domestic violence, probably the most damaging thing is a physical type of violence. That's the most dangerous, obviously.
Well, the victims actually report that the verbal abuse cuts the deepest, because the bruises and the punches and all of that heal, but the verbal abuse is the hardest to heal.
I've always said this, and I think your husband, Peter Hansen, he's the pastor over at St. Augustine Church on Salem Street. He would say things like, "Whoever said sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me," didn't know what he was talking about.
Exactly.
Because if somebody could punch me in the eye, I'd rather that will go away.
Yes.
The black eye will go away.
Yes.
But I'm not saying that's okay. I'm just saying that that'll go away, whereas the scars of when you call somebody a name and say some things that are very hurtful, that takes longer to go away.
It does. And the hatred that accompanies the punch does more damage than the actual punch.
Strangely enough, yeah. None of it's good.
No.
None of it's good. But how prevalent is this
It is so prevalent. First of all, I want our listeners to know that it's just as prevalent in the church as it is in the world. We have this idea because we're Christians, we're somehow immune to sin or disorders or dysfunctions. So these numbers include the church. On the average, 24 people per minute are victims of rape, physical violence, or stalking by an intimate partner in the United States. That's more than 12 million women and men over the course of a year. And I want to include, men are also being abused by their partners, either by a male partner or a female partner.
Mm-hmm.
It's not always the woman who's the victim. So nearly 3 in 10 women, or 29%, or 1 in 10 men, 10% in the U.S., have experienced rape, physical violence, or stalking by an intimate partner. And they have reported that it has impacted their ability to function. And Jerry, just think of all the unreported incidents.
Mm-hmm.
This is just going off of what's been reported. So nearly half of all women and men in the United States have experienced psychological aggression by an intimate partner.
Now, this does not mean that a relationship still can't be successful and flourish. I mean, if there is no panacea in anything in the world, in my opinion. I mean, in any relationship, even my relationship with my children, sometimes there's, you know, but 99 out of 100 times, it's wonderful. But every relationship in any type of in the world, there is always going to be some type of difference of opinion. I want to pick that up after the break. And I know we have some numbers that we want to give out too, in case there is some violence, some domestic violence that you're dealing with and how to cope with it, who you can call for immediate help. But I'm speaking with Gidi Hansen. She is the she works for the Growing Place, a marriage and family therapist registered intern. If you have any questions about if you have issues with domestic violence in your life or other issues that you want to deal with from she's a Christian, a good person to contact. Her office number is 588-0448, 588-0448. We'll be right back to Dr. Gidi after this.
This is Live Local Talk.
Gidi Hansen, marriage and family therapist registered intern, 588-0448 at The Growing Place. Gidi Hansen, if you have any issues that you want to talk to her about, they do good work at The Growing Place, and it's a growing place, too, in terms of how busy they've become and the number of clientele that they have. We're talking over the next 3 weeks, at least, about domestic violence and some of the causes, I suppose, some of the solutions. But I know that there were some numbers that we want to make sure we get out in the event that anybody is having a type of domestic violence issue. And you might have those with you, Gidi.
The National Domestic Violence Hotline is 1-800-799-7233. That's the acronym SAFE. So it's 1-800-799-SAFE. Uh-huh. And then here locally, we have Catalyst in Chico. And their 800 number is 1-800-895-8476, 895-8476.
Okay. And so many people, I guess we always think in terms of women, but women say that they need a place to stay, and because and Catalyst provides, you know, food, shelter,
kind of a
place to live while this thing gets settled. The fear, I think, is that sometimes we saw this in the NFL. That with Ray Rice, he was a football player, and you probably saw the video where he punched his wife.
No,
in the
actually,
elevator.
I try not to watch those things.
It was hard to watch. It was it was awful. And you go okay, and drags her out of the elevator. She reported that, but she didn't want to prosecute because that's her meal ticket. I mean, he makes a lot of money, and that's not just football players. It could be a guy who might be a firefighter. He might be a chef or teacher, anything else. He might be a pastor.
He might be a pastor. That's right.
And it's like she doesn't want to ruin his career because then that's going to ruin their family's life. So it's all kept secret.
Yes.
That's understandable, though, isn't it? Well, how do people get away from that?
Well, it takes a lot of courage to confront the dysfunctions in our lives. My supervisor, Judy Thompson, often says that it takes a lot of courage to go to counseling and to face our issues. And very often, and I know we're going to get into this in a future show, but very often those in marriages or relationships where they're being abused grew up with the abuse. So there's something in them that says this is normal. Mm-hmm. This is life. This is what it's supposed to be like.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not attracted to guys that aren't abusers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's one element of it. And the other element is, you know, we all know no matter what our issues are, it's hard to break out of a lifelong pattern.
Mm-hmm.
Whether we have anger issues or, you know, whatever it is, inferiority mm-hmm. issues or whatever, mm-hmm. it's hard to break out of that. So it's a whole life change. It's a whole attitude change. And then you've got a violent person who is you don't want to anger and antagonize.
There are triggers.
Yes.
And usually both people will have types of triggers which will ignite something.
Yes.
Couples just need to avoid pressing those buttons.
Yes.
But sometimes they press the buttons intentionally, don't they?
Sometimes they do. Yeah. And, you know, anger management is a huge issue here.
Yeah.
Whoever the perpetrator is really needs to know a better way to deal with their anger.
Uh-huh.
Because this is their go-to habitual place. For instance, let's say the woman is put down or antagonized at work and comes home and kicks the cat and then starts to attack the husband verbally.
Uh-huh.
You know, that would be an example.
Right.
Of what we're talking about, and this is a continuous thing. And for her, it's a way that she relieves herself
uh-huh.
and feels powerful again. But for him, it's this constant eating away at his very core self.
Yeah. So are there how many people who come into the growing place, not just clients of yours, but are you dealing specifically yourself with the
you know,
issues
oddly,
like this?
It's odd you should ask that because recently, within the last 3 or 4 months, I am.
Uh-huh.
And then, you know, you asked me to speak on this topic on the show, too.
Right.
So,
What are you learning from it, from talking to your clients about it?
Well, one thing I'm learning is that everybody's a human being. And I always separate whatever the issue or the dysfunction is from the actual person. Like, I don't label people, you're an abuser, you're a victim.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know they're more than whatever is happening in their lives or whatever they're doing. So I try to address the core person.
I always think that one of the reasons I have a difficult time with therapists, sometimes I wonder, is it's so hard. I mean, if somebody will ask me, what is this person like? Like, I've interviewed famous people. Well, what's he like? I don't have any idea what he's like. I interviewed him for 15, 20 minutes, maybe an hour.
Yes.
We went out and had dinner together
yes.
for an hour. I don't know any more about that person really than you do. And so you wonder, how could somebody, a therapist or anybody, make a judgment on somebody, even if they spend 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, 5 hours, 10 hours with a person in sort of a controlled environment like that? How could you really judge somebody?
You know, that's such a great question. Thank you for asking that. Huh? First of all, therapists don't make judgments.
Mm-hmm.
They make evaluations.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a big difference. So we are trained to understand what physical cues, the body language, the tone of voice, and the things that are expressed. We have a whole mountain of training that tells us which way this person is going in their thinking. Mm-hmm. We're not looking so much as, you know, their experiences as the way that their mind and emotions are working.
We're speaking with Gidi Hansen. She's with The Growing Place. And if you have some issues you'd like to talk to her about, it could be types of addictions that maybe you have, or marital issues you have, or relationships with your children, relationships at work. If you want to get it from a Christian perspective, although it doesn't have to be a Christian perspective, you can give her a call at The Growing Place. Gidi Hansen, contact her at 588-0448.
Welcome to the North Valley's own Jerry O'Lennon.
Ask yourself, what kind of example are you setting for others?
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
On KKXX Life Radio, this is Live Local Talk.
Gidi Hansen is with the Marriage and is a Marriage and Family Therapist Registered Intern at The Growing Place. And she is somebody that you can turn to if you need some help with addictions or any type of relationship issues. Doesn't have to be from you don't have to be a Christian necessarily to go there to get advice. I mean, she could deal with it from a secular point of view as well. But her number is 588-0448, 588-0448, Gidi Hansen at The Growing Place. For the next 3 weeks, we're talking about domestic violence, and it's certainly been in the news a lot lately with the NFL, and on a local level, we've had with some issues involving a woman who was killed, a homicide. There's a person of interest who happens to be the husband, who's a person of interest, not a suspect, Zier Weems. And that's certainly a big story that's going on in Butte and Glenn County right now. So there's a lot of attention being brought to it. And you were saying before we went to the break, Gidi, that there's a lot of – you've had a lot of clients yourself that are coming into this. You say what we were learning, and I wanted to finish that thought.
Yes.
What do you learn from these people when you try to talk to them about
issues? Learned that people are wounded and broken. Mm-hmm. And they are reacting to things that have happened to them. Mm-hmm. And they often, even the perpetrator, feels trapped mm-hmm. in a pattern of abuse. Mm-hmm. They're not thinking, oh, wow, I'm going to go home and beat up my wife. Mm-hmm. They're thinking, I feel unwanted. I feel unloved. I feel unappreciated. Mm-hmm. And she should appreciate me more, or mm-hmm. she should care about my needs more, or whatever mm-hmm. it is. So, I tend, and any good therapist tends, to really humanize the client.
It's always viewed, and I think it's fair to say, the person who does, because you all also say that you're responsible for your own feelings.
Yes, exactly.
So if a man, for example, comes in and says, well, you make me feel like I'm
exactly.
unimportant. You make me feel like you don't care, and I don't do anything worthwhile around here. He's responsible for his own feelings.
Yeah,
when it's somebody you love, is it different?
Well, what I say is, your feeling is valid, but no one can make you feel that way. Would you please own your own feeling?
Okay.
So say, I feel that I'm not appreciated around here.
Mm-hmm.
I feel that you provoke me every time. Mm-hmm. And we use language to help people own their own feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also tell the person, so you want to give away all your power to this other person,
mm-hmm.
and they've got you on a string like a marionette, and they can mm-hmm. make you feel whatever they want?
Yeah.
Is that what you're telling me?
But in a relationship, isn't it supposed to be where the two are joined as one, where the one person feels for the other person equally as though it's that person? Because I know that when I'm with my wife or my children, I want to be able to put myself and say, I feel their emotions so that I'm sharing them.
That's fine, as long as we are realizing I am making the choice to do this.
Okay.
I'm not going to make it your fault that I'm reacting in this way.
Okay.
I am choosing to react in this way. I'm choosing to react in a loving and understanding and empathetic way, or I'm choosing to react with anger, or I'm choosing to react by withdrawing and distancing from you. Or whatever I'm choosing in any given moment to do is my choice. And empowering somebody who has anger management issues mm-hmm. is one of the keys to helping them, because they feel so disempowered. I know it sounds counterintuitive.
It does.
But the abuser feels very powerless. And uh-huh. that's why he exerts or she exerts so much abuse on somebody, to get a sense of power back. So uh-huh. if we can give them the power that is rightfully theirs, in terms of them being accountable and owning their own stuff, then maybe they don't have to resort to this other stuff, especially when you tell them you just gave your power away.
Mm-hmm. What is the root of problems with domestic violence? What is the root of it? If you have to go down right to the very
core
of
it. Well, that's our next show.
Okay, that's our next show. So we want to make sure that's going to be next Wednesday, but we only have a few more minutes left.
But I wanted to just share an anecdote.
Go ahead, please do.
To give an idea for people who are not familiar with this type of abuse, what it looks like. Years ago, over maybe 25 years ago, my husband and I were walking in this neighborhood in Folsom where my parents lived.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a Sunday afternoon, and it was one of those beautiful California afternoons that wasn't too hot and it wasn't too cold. And it was just right. And my parents at that time lived in a very affluent neighborhood. And we saw this couple walking out their guests to the car, and it was all smiles and hugs and you hope to see you soon and everything. And they stand there and wave as the car drives away. And they turn around to go back into the house. And as they cross the threshold, the voice of the man that had been so kind and low register and loving becomes this high, screeching, screaming, almost female voice. as he just hurls abuse after abuse at the woman. And as they go in the house and before they close the door, we can hear the sounds of the slapping, hitting, shoving, punching. And it just, you know, took my breath away. How could somebody flip out like that? Mm-hmm. And so that's an example. It doesn't have to be accompanied by hitting. It could just be a really strong dressing down where you are just trying to tear the other person down. Mm-hmm. It could be with the threat. Okay, you don't get the car keys for next week. Mm-hmm. Or you don't get to see the kids. Or, you know, you don't get this. Or I'm going to do that. Or whatever it is. These are all forms of domestic violence or intrapersonal abuse.
You don't see it. I mean, that's, you know, when I was talking to the grandmother of Zier Weems, the husband, and I talked to the grandmother. She talked to me on camera. I said, did you ever see any of this? She says, no, I never saw anything like it. They came to my house all the time. They lived in Willows, and she lived in Willows, and they lived in the couple lived in Chico. She says, I never saw any domestic violence of any kind. They always treated her very well. I never saw any of this. And nobody ever does really see any of it, do they?
Very rarely, the kids, unfortunately.
Yeah.
The kids, and that's the problem. You know, domestic violence also affects family members, friends, coworkers, and the community. And kids who grow up witnessing it, mm-hmm. it becomes normalized for them.
So they become one of two ways. Either you're saying that they either can become like that, they sympathize with the victim and kind of just take the abuse, or they become abusive themselves.
Right, or they can break free. That's also a possibility.
Okay.
They can tell themselves, I don't want this lifestyle.
Right.
But it's being modeled for them. It's being imprinted on them. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be something for them to overcome one way or the other.
Right.
And that was also something we were going to talk about in a future show, how it is affecting everybody around.
Uh-huh.
The actual couple that's engaged in this.
What an interesting discussion. Gidi Hansen at The Growing Place. Thank you for being with us.
My pleasure.
We'll talk to you next Wednesday. If you want to give her a call about anything that you need help with in your life or your family's life, give her a call. 588-0448 at The Growing Place. 588-0448. Thanks for listening, everybody. Back tomorrow. We'll be talking to City Council candidate Andrew Coolidge tomorrow. 8:30 here on KKXX. So long, everybody.